Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Awesome. Well, we are excited to be here, gathered with you, excited to spend time in the Lord's presence and the time in His Word, and excited to move forward in our series that we've been in the last couple of weeks. We've been in a sermon series entitled Crossing Over, and what's true of most of us, and I would say probably of all of us, is that we want to move into the things that God has for us. We want to cross over into the promises of God. We want to cross over into the plans and the purposes that He has for our life. We want to cross over into maybe discovering those things. Some of us have maybe gone through a difficult season, and we want to cross over into a new season in our life, maybe some new fruitfulness, maybe some new direction, and maybe just to see some new life and growth in us. And so we've been talking about what it looks like to cross over, and for most of us, when we think about moving from one place to another, we think about just kind of going through a doorway. We think about just kind of taking a step, right? I was in the living room, and now I'm in the kitchen type of a thing. But what we've found more often than not in our journey with Jesus is that for us to move from one place to another, there is a process of journeying. And we've been looking at that, how we enter into and then move through and then move out of. Kind of that crossing over progression or process that moves us into the new things that God has for us. And it's in that middle stage, in the moving through part of the journey, that God is doing the transformation and the renewal and the change in us. That it's not as instantaneous as most of us would hope, that there's a process for us to endure. And so the first week as we began looking at this concept, we were talking about in that middle stage, in that place where God's bringing change and renewal, that our tendency is to resist that. And we learned a tough lesson from the nation of Israel that when you resist the change that God is doing, you make the time of needed change drawn out, right? That we actually make it a longer process than it needs to be. And then last week, Pastor Cameron talked about keeping our eyes on Jesus, that we have a tendency to have our eyes wander, and then we follow where our eyes are focused, and we find ourselves off track, and the same type of thing can occur. And so the first couple of weeks, we've been talking about going through that process, and this morning, you might have the expectation that we're going to arrive, right? Finally, right? We entered into, you've been telling us about, hey, the process is difficult. I'm listening, but I'm not really a fan of that part. Can you tell me about arriving in the promised land? Let's just get there. And we will next week. This morning, we're actually going to talk about the tendency for God to invite us back to the wilderness. See, we think oftentimes of our journey of growth and maturity in spirituality as this linear timeline, that I say yes, and I just follow Jesus for a while in this straight line, and things happen in my life, and then at the end I get to heaven, and it's just kind of like this timeline. If you think about social studies or history, when you had to do a timeline over a historical period, that's what you did. You drew a line, and you had kind of some highlights. But how many of our journeys is just kind of a straight line? And how many of it has kind of windings and valleys and hills and times where we circle back? And what I want to talk to you about this morning is the process of transformation that is continual, where God often invites us back to a wilderness place for Him to meet with us and to renew maybe even things that He's already begun, or to revisit processes that we've already endured, but He wants to take it to a new depth or to another level. So before we arrive on the other side, before we celebrate receiving the promises of God and kind of what that looks like to experience it, we're going to go back to the wilderness this morning. And God will often take us back to the wilderness to either relearn something that we've forgotten, or to see something in a new way that we've held on to, or to refine what has already been done in us, to refine it and to make it even better. And when He invites us to that, those moments back in the wilderness are always in preparation of moving into the fulfilled promise. It's a way for him to prepare us to receive what he has for us. For about 20 years, I was an athletic coach. So while I was a youth pastor, while I was an associate pastor, while I was a lead pastor here at Sterling Four Square Church, I was an athletic coach all during those years, and I was a player coach in college, and I coached middle school boys and girls soccer. I coached high school girls and boys soccer. I coached high school football, 8-man and 11-man. Through all of those years, I was an athletic coach in a number of different sports, but one of the things that was the same in every sport, in every season, is that there were things that you revisited and that you were constantly relearning. We would call them the fundamentals, which for most kids wasn't really that fun. I don't know how that got in there, but there wasn't a lot of fun in the fundamentals. It was just repetitive in some cases. But we would also, or we would often need to revisit those things. And if we were going through a drill, or if we were maybe even learning a new play and then building something new on it, and we were going through the process of practice, one of the things that I would often look at my players and say as they would complete the drill, or they would complete learning the skill, and then I would look at them and I would say, okay, let's run it back. And they knew what that meant was you have to do it again. And they heard, let's run it back, let's run it back. Okay, let's run that back again. They heard that a lot. But it was because we needed to revisit the basics on which everything else was built. And what I would suggest to you is that when God invites you to a wilderness moment with him, he's asking you to, hey, let's run it back. Let's run it back to the basics. Let's run it back to the beginning. Let's run it back to the foundation on what our relationship is built on so that we can move forward into the things that I have for you. And so we're often required to revisit those foundational truths and those fundamental teachings and really those seminal moments of meeting with God. See, if I sat down with you and I just said, hey, tell me about your relationship with Jesus, or tell me about your journey of faith, like you would all have a way to kind of articulate that. Some of you might have it dialed in and have some precision to it. Some of you might have to fumble a little bit for words, but you could all land on moments where God met you and spoke into your life, where moments where faith was birthed in you and you responded in some type of tangible way. And if you don't have that, you're here this morning and there's a hunger in your heart for those moments. You're being drawn and wooed by the Spirit of God to the truth of who he is and the plans and the purposes that he has for your life. And when God invites us back to the wilderness, he's inviting us back to those moments, to remember what those things are and to then respond as a result of those. If you have your Bible today, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and get it out and raise it up. If you've got your smartphone or your tablet, you can open up your Bible app. Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would speak to us through your living word today. We pray that you would give us the leading strength and courage of the Holy Spirit to put it into practice, Lord, to walk it out in earnest faith in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to turn our eyes to the book of Hosea, right? Old school, minor prophet in the Old Testament. You might not even know that it's there, but we're going to focus on a portion of Isaiah where God invites his people back to the wilderness. And I want to give you just kind of a quick flyover of that book and what's going on in the history of the time. So Hosea was a prophet to the nation of Israel. There was a period of time where the nation of Israel had a civil war. And they split in two. There's a north and a south. There's Israel and there's Judah. And so when you're reading in the Old Testament, especially kind of in the historical books, and it talks about Israel having a king and Judah having a king, and in your mind thinking, well, aren't they the same thing? They weren't. They had actually split in two. They had a north and a south, and they were separate nations and entities. And Hosea was alive during that time, and so he lived through the civil war and the breaking apart of the nation, and then he endured the rise of the empires around them. And what became apparent is as the people of God moved further and further away from God, as they moved more and more into embracing the secular world around them and really had lost a first love of Yahweh, that as that distance began to become greater and greater and these empires were rising around them, God began to speak to his people through the prophets and said, hey, the full weight of consequence of your sin and of your rebellion, you're gonna feel that. that's going to be visited upon you. And so Hosea was one of the prophets during that time, speaking to the people, calling them, hey, come back, return to the Lord. Like, we're distant, we're lost. We need to recapture something about who he is and who we are, and we need to rediscover that. And Hosea was one of the ones who spoke that. Now, he was a contemporary of Isaiah and Amos and Micah, so some other Old Testament prophets that you might have a little bit of understanding of. They were all hanging out at the same time, really speaking a lot of the same message. So God was going through great efforts to reach his people with this message. And so Hosea was speaking to them about God trying to woo them back to himself. But the message was ignored, and they continued to walk in willful rebellion. And so the nation fell. The Assyrian Empire came and overthrew the nation of Israel. And the Assyrians were an empire that would come in, and they would take everybody captive, and they would destroy the land. They would just decimate it, and they would lead everybody away. So whatever they came into, they destroyed, and they took the people away and moved them into slavery. And so in essence, in Israel's history, they went right back to Egypt, just in a different place. That when the Assyrian Empire overthrew the nation of Israel, that they found themselves in exile, they were no longer in the promised land geographically, and they were right back into a place of subservient servitude in actual experience in life. And Hosea was one of the prophets during that time, right before it, and then after the fall, and kind of continued on for about 7 to 10 years after the fall of Israel, trying to speak hope and blessing to a people who would not hear it. They would not return to the invitation of God. But what's really interesting is that many times when we think about the wilderness, when we think about wilderness moments in our life, we think of them as like being in bondage and being in exile. But I want to make sure that we differentiate between those two. God liberated his people from Egypt and led them into the wilderness. Remember that? He led them into the wilderness because it was in the wilderness they were to meet him, to know them, to discover who they were in relation to God, to become the people of God. That we're supposed to be transformed and refined in that place, and then that would lead them into the promises of God. And so there are times when you and I are invited to revisit the wilderness, and that's not to go back into bondage. That's not to endure difficulty and hardship. That's not just to wrestle out the consequence of sin, which is very real in our lives. But when God invites us back to the wilderness, it's not to a place of punishment or to a place of discipline. It's a place of discovery where we discover who he is and who we are in relation to him, and we reaffirm our relationship and we move forward. And in the book of Hosea, as Hosea is talking about the fall of Israel, as he is outlining, hey, this is what's going to happen. Here's the full scope of consequence. And here's what you're going to have to endure. In the middle of that, he speaks God's words to his people about what God's intention for them was. And even though they were going to go back into a place of bondage, where they were going to be going back into a place of exile, God's plan all along was to invite them out of that place of bondage and exile back to the wilderness to meet with him. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, the prophet Hosea is recording God's words to his people. And after God has spoken about what was going to take place and what was taking place, he speaks of his plans for them. And he says, therefore, I am now, this is God speaking, Yahweh speaking to his people. Therefore, I am now going to allure her, and that is being spoken of the nation of Israel, God's people. Therefore, I am now going to allure her, and I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. One of the other translations will say that, therefore, I'm going to invite her back to the wilderness. Another translation will use that same line in the Hebrew and say that God's intentions is, but I will win her back. See, there's an invitation here that God brings to his people where he says, yes, you are going kind of back further than you should have. You're going back into exile. You're going back out of my promises. You're going back into a place of bondage. But I intend to invite you back to the wilderness to meet with me. So therefore, I am now going to allure her, and I will lead her into the wilderness, and I will speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her back her vineyards, and I will make the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, I will make it a door of hope. And there, in that wilderness place, there she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the days she came up out of Egypt. See, a lot of times we see an invitation to a desert place in our spirituality through negative lenses. When we find ourselves in a place of hardship or kind of wandering, when we find ourselves in space that we can't control, a lot of times our default is to think, what's wrong and why is God punishing me? We almost cry out like, God, why won't you fix this? Why won't you take it away? We often fail to see it as an invitation to meet with God to discover afresh who he is. To meet with God and discover anew who we are. And to out of that coming together, having a oneness into the future, plan, purposes, and promises of God for our lives. A lot of times we miss that. We're so caught up in trying to get through the desert. We're so caught up in trying to get out of the desert that we don't actually get anything out of our time in the desert. But if we could see again these places where God invites us, where he invites us into a wilderness place to stop and reflect on who he is and who we are and what that is supposed to look like expressed in our life, then it changes our time there. And when you look at Scripture, when you look at the people of God in the desert, when you look at the kind of those desert wilderness spaces and seasons in the life of men and women of faith in Scripture, you see very often that they were places of formation and they were places of transformation. They were places of salvation. They were places of deliverance. They were places of purification and a solidifying of identity. They were places of solitude and coming together with the Lord. And in those places, people become aware of God's attention and their care for them. They become aware of the things that God is looking to restore and to renew and recover in our lives, and they are able to reaffirm their relationship with the Lord. And that's God's intention here in Hosea. You're far off and you're lost, and you are now not even in the place of promise, but I will invite you back to the wilderness to meet with me. I'm going to start fresh. We're going to start new. And when you look at the life of Moses, when you look at David, when you look at Elijah, John the Baptist, Jesus, Paul, all of them had seasons of desert wandering in actual geographic desert, not just in a metaphoric sense. That it's part of the transformation process. It's the part of the process where God prepares you to receive the things that he has for you. That he prepares you to receive the things that he has for you. You know, so many of us, when we're 6 years old, we want our dad to give us the new car. You need your driver's license first. There's preparation that has to go through that process. See, we have these longings for things to be fulfilled in our lives, but there are stages of growth that have to happen for us to actually be able to embrace those and to walk into the full experience of those things. And we get that in the natural, and it's true in the supernatural. The things that you have been designed to enjoy, the places in God's kingdom that you've been designed to participate with his plans and purposes for his kingdom and for your life, there's a growth and a transformation and a maturity, and there's stages and there's process that are involved in all of those things as you move into each step and into each opportunity. And going back to the wilderness at times is God's invitation to be renewed and restored, to reconfirm, and to move forward in the things that he has for you. And there's three things that happen in the wilderness confrontation with the Lord. And we're going to see them here in Hosea. If you want to see another practical example, you can go to Matthew chapter 4 and look at the temptation of Jesus, where the Spirit of God led him into the desert to fast and to pray for 40 days, and there he was tempted. Prior to any of his public ministry, that was something that took place. There had to be a solidification of his identity and of what he was supposed to be about. And the same thing is true for you and for I. But there's three things that happen in that wilderness return, three things that we are invited to participate in. And the first one, if you're a note taker, you can write this down. The first one is solitude. Solitude, right? We're not writing that one down because we don't like that one. Like, I'll wait for the next one, Pastor. There's got to be something I like in there. See, the problem with solitude is most of us, we don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to respond to it. But it feels a lot like loneliness, and I don't like that. I don't like feeling lonely, and I don't like being alone. Right? So even when we're in the home alone, we may turn on the radio and at least have background noise playing. As we've had to navigate kind of social distancing, you know, maybe we won't adhere to the rules, or maybe we'll find another way to fill the void in our life to make it feel like there's still stuff going on, right? Maybe you're just going through show after show after show on Netflix, and you're just trying to, I don't want to be in silence. I don't want to be alone. I feel lost. I feel disconnected. The sense of loneliness, that emotion is something that is a gift of God to you that is supposed to draw you to Him. Because what is ultimately true is there are places in your heart that long for the Creator that cannot be filled by anything in creation. Can only be something that Creator, that God Himself can touch and can satisfy. And so loneliness is supposed to actually draw us to Him. And it's in solitude that we meet Him. But because we don't see those things as being favorable, and because we often mistake solitude for being lonely, we run from those opportunities. But when God says, hey, I'm going to invite you to the desert space, I'm going to invite you back to the wilderness, what He's saying is, you know what, this is me and you. I will allure her back to the wilderness, and I will speak tenderly to her using that metaphor. See, there's places in you, moments and seasons, where only God can sustain you. And you become aware of that in solitude. What happens in solitude is you are reminded of who God is. Because there's nobody else there. There's nothing else to draw your distraction. There's nothing else to draw your gaze. It's in those moments of solitude. And when you find yourself alone in those moments, then there is no other one who can provide for you. He is the only provider. There is nobody else who can speak in a way that gives you approval. His voice is the only one that matters. He becomes the one who is your provider. He becomes the one who gives you approval. He becomes the one who gives you direction. He becomes the sole source of your healing and your wholeness. There is no other option when we are drawn into solitude. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing that God does for us. He invites us into solitude. But if we don't recognize that wilderness moment as a moment to meet with God, we're going to miss it. We're going to clamor it. We're going to fill it with noise. We're going to fill it with activity. Because we will be running from a loneliness that we're trying to escape instead of seeing it as an invitation for God to embrace us. So He invites us to this place of solitude where we learn who He is. Who He is. The second thing that happens in this wilderness place is that there is a testing that goes on. Right? Nobody wants to write that one down either. Right? Solitude and testing? Like, I can't wait till next week. Can we get to the promised land already? See, because we think of testing as being something that is punitive. That God's going to test us, and of course we can't measure up, and then He's going to show His disapproval towards us. Isn't that oftentimes how we see it? Some of you are probably really good test takers, and you're like, no sweat, even in the spiritual sense. But for most of us, testing is a little bit, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I really want to know what's in my heart or what my motives are. It's easier for me to just kind of walk in kind of a religious piety. Put on the mask and put on the show, give a little, sing a little. See, but in solitude, we come face to face with who God is, but He also allows us to be assessed by His Word and by His Spirit. We come face to face with us, and that's a scary thing. But it's in that place of testing where pruning begins to take place, where we're exposed before the Lord and we're honest before Him and we say, yeah, this is something in my life that really shouldn't be here. And then it's in that place of honest assessment that we can offer it to Him and He can remove it. He can do something about it. And the pruning and the preparation that God does in your life is always for future fruitfulness. It's always for you to receive the promises that he has for you. It's never to somehow negate you or diminish you or cause you to come away with less. It's always for your good. It's always for your benefit. And it always begins to expose the identity of who you are, who you were created to be, who his plans and purposes are for you in a unique fashion. You discover those in these wilderness moments where you're face-to-face with God. You learn about him, and you learn about yourself. And then it's in that place that the third thing happens, that there's this solitude, that there's this testing that takes place, but then there's an opportunity for renewal. There's an opportunity for renewal that comes as a result of that. And we immediately go to, I want renewed life, I want renewed vitality, I want renewed success, right? I want renewed maturity. I want renewed receiving of the promises that God has for me. And those are all there and those are all on offer. But the primary thing that is in at the invitation for renewal is your relationship with the Lord. See, there's a moment where there is a renewal of the vow. In Hosea chapter 2, at the end of verse 15, as God has spoken and says, I will invite her into the wilderness and I will restore the things that were lost. I will remind her of who she is and how I care for her. Here is the opportunity at the end. And then she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. See, God invites us to go back to the wilderness, not for us to go back to Egypt, not to go back to bondage and brokenness, but to remind us that we have been set free from that, that we've been liberated from that, to remind us and reaffirm in us again of who he is and who we are to him. And it's at that understanding, it's at that kind of renewed focus and perspective that we have the opportunity to renew and reaffirm our relationship with him. God invites us into the wilderness to define the relationship. It's the DTR of our spirituality. Hey, we need to revisit this. This is who I am, and this is who I have created you to be. How do you want to respond to that? This month, July, Beth and I have been the pastors of this church family for 10 years now. It's pretty awesome. It's kind of a cool milestone for us. And one of the things that's fun about being in a place for a longer period of time is that there's milestones of celebration that you get. And in the last 10 years, I've had the opportunity on two different occasions to do wedding vow renewals here at the church. For couples who had been married for decades and decades and decades and decades, and I'll just leave it there, but for a lot of decades. People who were married in this church and in this community long before we were here, pastors prior. And in some of those renewals, some of the original people at the original wedding are still here. They're still around. And I've seen them dress up in what they wore on those previous days. Right? That's pretty awesome. Some of you are like, what? No way. Some people can do it. But there's something beautiful about standing up all those years later and seeing a couple look at each other and say, if I had to do it all over again, I still choose you. And if I have to consider the last decade, how many of them there are, and even the consequence and the difficulties and all the ups and downs, and I still choose you. Not just I would still choose you then, I still choose you now. And there are moments in our lives where God draws us back to the wilderness for that simple reaffirmation. For us to be reminded that he has chosen us in Christ, but more importantly, for us to realign our allegiance, to reaffirm our love for our Creator. Where we come face to face with the Lord in that solitude, and face to face with ourselves through that testing and that pruning. And we look him in the eye and we say, you know what? If I had to choose all over again, I would still choose you. I would still surrender to you. I would still receive grace. I would still profess with my mouth that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. That we would reaffirm all of those things to be true. In Revelation chapter 2, there's a number of letters to the church. In the book of Revelation, there's seven churches that are given a number of different letters, and they're all commended and then reprimanded for various things. And the church in Ephesus is one that is commended for a lot of great things, and it reads this way. It says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. That sounds like a pretty good church, right? They're going for it in the kingdom of God. They're rolling up their sleeves, and they're getting after it. They're not just sitting passive, but they're moving. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles and are not, and you have found them false. You don't put up with wickedness. You don't compromise. And you can sniff out false teaching. You don't fall for the deceptions of the world. You don't fall for a slick tongue. You're not led astray. That sounds pretty good. You have persevered and you have endured hardships for my name. And you have not grown weary. You've pushed through the hard stuff. You've met persecution head on. And you've never quit. You've never given up. Sounds like an awesome church. And then there's... But I've got this one thing. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. For all of the great things that you're doing now, you've lost your first love. And there's a somber note to that. There's a note of sadness. But the church isn't dismissed. God is always inviting us back, isn't He? When there are moments in us where we have forgotten our first love, where we've drifted, where God has invited us back to the wilderness and we've said, no, thank you, I don't want to be alone. No, thank you, I'm not really interested in assessing my life right now. No, thank you, I've got a lot of other things that I can be busy with. When He finally draws us back and we come face to face with maybe the fact that our allegiance has drifted a little, it's never with a condemning voice that is revealed to us. It's always with an invitation. It's always with an invitation to renew our vows. As God reminds us, I still choose you, and we have an opportunity to respond. Worship team, if you would come forward, I'm going to invite you, congregation, to stand. And we're going to respond this morning in a couple ways as may be appropriate. And as you stand, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for just a moment. And that's just to close out the distractions around you. It's not a show of spirituality or piety. It's just a practical one. I want to ask you to entertain just a few questions here as we invite the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. In this time of disruption, where your schedule's been disrupted, where kind of the norm of how life is lived has been disrupted, how have you responded? Like, have you tried to clamor to keep things quote-unquote normal? Have you tried to push through and get it over with? Has there been a hurriedness to this? Or have you recognized invitations by the Lord to retreat back to the wilderness with Him? I would say that in this season that the Lord is doing that. I think that He's doing that for individuals. I think that He's doing that for the collective church. Where He's calling us back to define the relationship. He's calling us back to renew our vows. He's calling us back to a place of solitude where we rediscover who He is. That He's calling us back to a place of testing so that we discover afresh who we are, who we were created to be. And that in that quiet, distant wilderness moment, he would look us in the eye and he would say, I still choose you. And that we have an opportunity to respond in kind. What if this week, instead of shying away from desert moments, we look to embrace them? What if we invited them? Invited those moments, sought them out even, knowing that it's in those places, in those moments, in those seasons, that we are intended to meet with God and to be made new, and that it's actually in those moments that we are made new, that it's in those moments that we're transformed, that we can't actually emerge, cross over, get to the other side without those moments. What if we embrace those? Lord, we come before you and we offer ourselves to you. Lord, forgive us for the times where we have fled from the solitude of your presence because it has smelled like the loneliness of the world. And we've sought to fill it with things from the creation rather than the person of the Creator. Lord, let us draw near to you this week as you have promised to draw near to us. And let us discover again that you are our provider, that you are the one who gives us approval, that you are the one who gives us direction, that you offer healing and wholeness, that you fight on our behalf. Lord, let us embrace moments of testing this week, not in a sense that our faith is tested and somehow we just have to pass it, but Lord, a testing, a pruning, a refining in us that gets us to a place of being honest before you. That we would be honest about who we are and what we really want, and that we would allow you to make changes in that when those things are not in alignment with who you say we are. And what you want for our lives. That we would allow pruning and preparation for future fruitfulness, Lord, for the fulfillment of your promises in our life. And God, give us a willingness to renew our vow, to renew our allegiance to you. God, I submit to you today. That after all of these years, I still choose you. And Lord, when I consider the scope of my life and the places that I've fallen short, I'm honest that it is sometimes a wonder and an unbelievable thought to entertain that you would still choose me. But you do. So, Lord, it's in humility before you that I would reaffirm my vow. Lord, I know that you're inviting us to that place today. And there may be somebody here or somebody watching online, Lord, that they have never said yes to you. You've been wooing them. You've been calling them. Lord, you've been courting them by your Spirit. Lord, would they yield to you today? They affirm their vow to receive your grace and salvation and to follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A couple action steps for you today. If you've got your smartphone or tablet, you can snap a picture of them. There's just two. First one is make it a priority this week to intentionally slow down. Listen to me, you're going to bypass the wilderness if you are in a hurry. Intentionally slow down. Number two, find a desert space. Find some time alone with the Lord. Meet with Him and allow Him to speak into your life.